Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Oh, yes. Audrey, thank you for your heart of generosity every time you come and ask for money. Because she does that at home, too. It's like, you know. Actually, she doesn't come. She just texts and says, hey, could you transfer some money into my account? And I'm like, no, talk to your mom. So mom always does. Wow, I feel like I'm really hot. Like, hot. Yeah, not just hot, like hot. But no, I'm not. Dude, I hear myself bouncing all over the walls. Maybe it's because I'm standing up here. It's a different sound up here. Sorry, guys. I hear like every little tiny thing, and it drives me crazy. It's a curse, a blessing, and a curse. We were talking about that the other day. I was driving, and I hear every noise in the car because my dad told me, you've got to hear every noise in the car so you know when something's going wrong. I mean, that was, and so I grew up. I mean, as I'm driving in the car, I'm a little kid, and my dad, do you hear that? I'm like, no. Listen, I was like, I hear it, you know, so now I drive and I hear everything. So, sorry about that. So, quick announcements, Roatan update. If you don't know the story about Roatan this week, hello, it's a story. Let's just say that if you're going to fly internationally, get to the airport 10 hours ahead of time, because 2.5 is not enough, apparently. 14 of our 21 folks got left here, left behind. We're the left behind group. There was no rapture. There was just no plane. And so it was all great because of that. We're taking another trip in July. And so there's 7 spots open if you want to go to Roatan, July 7 to 12. So get excited about that because now I and Audrey get to go. So that's going to be tons of fun. It's going to be so much more fun. I'm just kidding. I hope Marco watches this because, you know, Marco, buddy, you just don't know how to party like we do. No, but the great thing about this yesterday, this is just awesome, the way that God is working down there already. And that he said, so we were scheduled to have, what do you call it, a leadership event, leadership training / on discipleship. And so it got postponed because Marco's trip got postponed because he missed the flight, you know, so the leader missed the flight. That's awesome. But fortunately, it worked out for him to get there the next day. And so they had this leadership training discipleship class at the church. 5 people got saved. Because, yes, I know, it's so awesome, but look, it was a leadership event. But in Roatan, apparently, people invite their lost friends to leadership events. Yeah, or because, or some that weren't saved, it's true. But I do know that Dylan, if you know Dylan, he brought 5 or 6 new people that just joined his rehab. He's like, hey, we're having leadership. It's on discipleship. Y'all need to come. We're having, you know, some, you know, so I think some of those folks got saved, you know, but it's like, you know, but, you know, in America, well, that's a leadership event. We wouldn't invite lost people to that. No, sir. But in Roatan, apparently they do. And people get saved. And so that's pretty awesome. So if you want to go to Roatan, July 7th to 12th, there's 7 spots left. They will fill up today. Maybe. Other thing, if it's on your radar, if it's not on your radar, this is probably part of the reason it's postponed. Volunteer interest night, we had to postpone that. So, but for Micah, my buddy, if you have any need or desire or feel a call to be involved in worship ministry or tech team, see Micah. Right on. Please see Micah. Help Micah. Somebody help Micah. 6:20 student prayer. We're moving back for the summer. Wednesday mornings, 8 o'clock, praying here in the building, then off to Hat Creek for some day trippers. Come on. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And 620 Sisters, you're going to meet in June at 7 o'clock Tuesday nights. And my wife is in here. Uh-oh. Now I have to behave. Sweet. I scheduled her to be in there. And she's not obeying. All right. Well, anyway, so much for submission. Anyway, so, wow, I'm excited. There's a lot today. I mean, I've got just basically two goals and a whole lot of scripture, all right? My goal for the day, I saw this quote, and I was like, that's so awesome. I hope your soul prospers. That is, I hope you are less and less in your own eyes and that your heart is more and more impressed with a sense of the glory and the grace of our Lord. Guy named John Newton, if you don't know who that guy is, he wrote Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader back in the day and got saved and became a pastor, and I just think that's awesome. And it's really important to start with him because it goes along with what we're talking about earlier today. And my other goal for the day is hopefully that Scripture will speak more than me, because if I talk, it might just be, you know, entertaining. Maybe. I don't know. But maybe not. So to start us off, I have a video that made my wife gasp. And if you have any fear of heights whatsoever, now's the time for you to leave. No, you'll be fine. So let's just quick bust out that minute video and watch these insane creatures. Yeah. It's, you just say, wow, Lord, blows my mind to watch these guys. I mean, little baby, they're called ibex, in case you're wondering. It's an ibex, and they climb things like walls, and they do this. Yeah, I know. It's like, are you kidding me? Is that just like, just makes you want to go out there and scale a wall, boys? All those sixth grade, seventh grade guys that want to climb those pillars out there? Yeah, show me that. You know, and they climb these walls so they can get to this salt that's leaching out of the stone. And they are specifically designed by God with feet prepared for climbing stuff like that. Just say, yeah, just zipping along just to get a little salt. And you just say, wow. And it just, it's like, hey, guys, no problem. Look at those feet. Yeah, those feet were prepared to just zip along. Yeah, just running along the wall, guys. Go figure that. So, it gives new meaning to Scripture in Habakkuk 3:19. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He makes me tread on my high places. And that's where we're going today, because, you know, sometimes, guys, revival looks as impossible as a goat on the side of a dam. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. Raise your hand if you've thought, could revival ever happen? Really? I don't know. I mean, I'm like, really, Lord? Could a revival happen? Yeah. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he makes our feet like the feet of the deer to go on the high places, right? And then there's this fabulous little scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, you know, part of your armor is your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He prepares your feet for high places with the gospel. And we need to see that and believe that and bust that into our mind today. I mean, that's my hope, is that we'll just get that you'll never look at, you know, a dam like that again and go, oh, wow, that was. But I'm telling you that if you're a born-again follower of Jesus, God's given you the feet to go to God-sized places. And so if your dreams aren't God-sized, maybe you're less than a goat. you know, and need to get a little bit connected back to the God that has saved you. And I want to look today at our salvation a bit, because, you know, the gospel, we've been talking about the gospel for 4 weeks. It's the power of God. It's given you the gospel of peace. It's given you, it's prepared your feet to go, folks. It's prepared your feet to go, and to go places that you don't think you can go. I mean, who would think that a goat could climb that? So, with this in mind, I really do want to look at how amazing our salvation is, because hopefully, as you look at that and just be reminded of that, because I need to be reminded, because guys, look, you do it, I do it, all of us do it. We drive down 620 and go, oh, traffic, and then, or it's Monday morning, I got to get up again, here we go, you know, I got to go do this, and oh, I got another game to go to, got to go this, got to go that, got to do this, got more homework, got who knows what, bills to pay, all of that stuff, everything starts just causing the gospel to fade from your view and belief that God can do incredible things instead of just like, I'm saved. God saved me. That's great. That's beautiful. You know, and then we do this other thing where we compare our testimonies, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, like, let me just tell you, Marco and I couldn't be more different. I'm just going to straight up in a lot of ways. First of all, he doesn't know how to speak properly. So that's one thing, you know. I don't ever say whilst when I'm talking. I don't use any King James English. No, I don't do any of that, you know. But here's the other thing. If you know Marco and you know his testimony, I mean, Marco came out of crazy messed up drug abuse rehab. I mean, he met Catherine in rehab. You know, he had to go to rehab to finally find himself a good woman. So hooray for Marco. I didn't find my wife in rehab. I found her at my brother-in-law's high school graduation party. And when she met me, her thought was, not him, Lord. But that's true. But here's the thing. I've never in my life been drunk. I scarcely ever drink alcohol, ever. I mean, I think it tastes nasty, first of all. I don't know why people think it's great, but whatever. I think it tastes awful. But my life started, I mean, my earliest memories are in church. And, I mean, I still can picture the lady at the nursery that one Wednesday night we took her home, and I thought, that's so weird. I was maybe 3 or 4, and I was like, why is that lady riding in my car? I mean, that was, you know, that's some of my earliest memories of taking some lady home from church. I'm like, that's so crazy. Little gray-headed lady is probably like that tall. Probably changed my diapers. So, you know, so my life and Marco's life, you know, it's very different. But the bottom line is our salvation is not any different. Because the distance that Marco and I and you and I were from the Lord is equal. You know, we just get a little bit, you know, sensational. We love a little sensation. Woo-hoo, you know, we get all about that. But the bottom line is the sin in our lives separated us from God. Every one of us were equally separated from God. Our sin separated us, and none of us can stretch far enough. I can stretch 6'3", but that ain't far enough. So let me read a mess of scriptures, and then we'll get into this. So, 1 Peter, it's not going to be on the screen yet. You just have to listen or open your Bible. To 1 Peter, chapter 1. Blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It was revealed to them, skipping down to verse 12, the prophets, that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit. You were preached to by the Holy Spirit. Preached to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Okay, that's something we'll get into. For the word of the cross is folly, foolishness, to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And then, whoo, amazing verse. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So, I had six reasons your salvation is eternally infinite big deal, and thought maybe I should trim it back. I'm always trying to cut back because I always go too long. So I'm going to do four reasons instead of six, but you can go find your own. So reason number one, that your salvation is an eternally infinite big deal. I mean, if you're sitting here today and you're like, yeah, the Lord saved me. And I got saved when I was 10. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday. I'm sitting in this chapel at First Baptist Church, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and this guy came and preached, and I can't even remember his name now. I used to know it. Angel Martinez, that's it, Dr. Angel Martinez. You know? Ah, come on, yeah. Brothers in the Baptist faith. Yeah, so Dr. Angel Martinez came and preached revival when I was 10 years old, and he preached on John 3:16, and the children were in the chapel, and I just remember knowing that, yeah, I need to do that. And then I told my parents, and of course in the Baptist church, if you got saved, then you had to walk the aisle. Come on. I went to a really big church. Downtown, First Baptist, you know, First Baptist Church, big cathedral, you know, kind of like Hyde Park, and balconies and all this. And I was like, I've got to walk down in front of all those people. And so I told my parents, well, let's go on Sunday night. Smaller crowd is all right. But I made the journey down to Dr. Holtgren. And yeah, so all that. Yeah, your salvation is an eternally big deal. I don't even know where that was. Slide one. Your salvation is a big deal because God caused it, keeps it, and guards it. This is going to be the longest point. It's kind of the most theological point-ish, and so don't go to sleep on me. But from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Look, he's caused it because you were a slave to sin. You don't cause things when you're a slave. You're a slave, right? When you're dead in trespasses and sin, when you're dead, you don't do live things unless somebody makes you alive, right? You were dead in your trespasses. Ephesians 2 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, all of our salvation is amazing because God made you alive. God set you free. You got to know that. God did this. God caused us to be born again. I don't remember when my mom gave birth to me. I'm told it was icy cold. But I didn't start that. I didn't make that. But here I am, 100 years later. God made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God caused our salvation because the will of God is more powerful than your corrupt, sinful will. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit did not move on your life, you would not be a believer. If the Holy Spirit hadn't come and done what needed to be done, you would still be in your sin. Every single one of you would be in your sin. People, you know, that's a testimony. To say the Holy Spirit of God came to me, convicted me of my sin, caused me to be born again. Come on now. That'll make you. John 1:12-13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Yes, hallelujah. Who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God's will is the reason you're a believer, and it's his will that you will stay a believer till you die for his glory. Come on. I mean, look, it says he kept us. He's keeping us. It's good. And Jude, here's one. Nobody ever reads Jude very much. It's one chapter, but it's a good little book. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forevermore. He's keeping you because it brings him glory. Yeah, you get to go to heaven because it brings him glory. And that's going to be awesome. And God's all about his glory, folks, because he is the sovereign supreme in the universe. And if he's about your glory, then he's an idolater, and that would be silly. He keeps us because the resurrection of Jesus conquered sin for you. Okay? Romans 6, check it out. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You were immersed into Jesus. You were immersed into his death. We who were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Just as Christ was raised, you too will be raised. And thinking back to Dr. Holmgren, so Dr. Holmgren, when he would do baptism, it would be like, he would say, I baptize you, my brothers. He always had this little cloth in his hand. It's like, was he like, you know, you think chloroform? No, I don't know. He always had this little cloth in his hand, and he would, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he would put that cloth over your mouth, and he would say, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Oh, yeah. Good old Dr. Holmgren. Every time. Raised to walk in newness of life. Boom. Right from there. Raised to walk in newness of life, folks. I don't know. I need the newness of life just as much as anyone. He guards your salvation through your faith because his power is matchless. So I was sitting here and I'm reading and I'm studying this out and I'm looking at that scripture and it says, let me just reread it to you. Boom, 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 boom. He says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. And I was like, God's power are being guarded through faith. I was like, I don't exactly understand that. And I was like, I'm just sitting there in my chair, the recliner that my wife made me move out of the living room. She said, you can't keep it in here anymore. And I was like, but it's where I do my study. Anyway, she said, you can put it in the bedroom. Anyway, so I'm sitting, I'm like, Lord, what? Who by God's power are being guarded through faith? And I'm like, what does this mean? I mean, it's Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, whatever, says faith is only as reliable as the object to which it's placed. Okay? Your faith is only as good as the chair you're sitting on, folks. These chairs are all new, a little bit narrower, so we can get a few more chairs in here. I know some of you may not have noticed that they're narrower. Some of you did, and you're complaining about it. Whatever. But your faith is only as reliable as the object to which it's placed. Your faith is significant because God is supremely significant. Okay? I mean, your faith is as good as God is powerful. Your faith is as good as God is able to keep you. Your faith is as good as God is able to give you an inheritance. Your faith is, wow, that went fast. Your faith is significant because God is supremely significant and you trust him. It's like sitting, when I was a little kid, you know, our house was filled with mid-century modern furniture because then that was just mid-century and that's just what people had. But if you see pictures, people like my daughter, oh, wow, that's really cool furniture. I was like, really? We thought it was kind of junky, but now it's mid-century modern. Ooh. Anyway, and so we had a wicker chair that looks like an upside-down contact lens, you know what I'm saying, and had metal legs like now. Oh, look, metal legs. That's really cool. You know, those little, well, yeah, we had one of those, and it was amazing. And I just remember being a really little guy because, I mean, dude, I was the tiniest little guy ever. I was a tiny, tiny kid. And my parents had this Sunday school class at the party, Sunday school party at the house. And there was this guy who was really big. I had never seen somebody as big as him. I mean, I was just like, wow, he's big, you know, because I was just like, and I was invisible, you know, and he sat down on our wicker contact lens chair. And the wicker contact lens chair was gone. You know, he put his faith in that mid-century modern. And he paid the penalty for that. But folks, you put your faith in the creator of the universe. There is no chance. There is no possibility that it will give way. He will keep you. He will keep you. The greatest truth to know is that you didn't cause your salvation. God started that. And God will finish it because he's faithful. Slide number two. Your salvation is a big deal because angels wish they could experience it. I think this is the coolest thing. Ah, this is going to be quicker. So it's revealed to them, the prophets, as they're like, the prophets knew, as they're writing their prophecies, they're like, this is for somebody else down here, down the road. They're like, yes, the Spirit of Christ revealed to them that us here at some point way down, people are going to get saved and they're going to experience what they're writing about, okay? That's what it says. Israel, they were serving not themselves but you and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached, people, somebody preached the gospel to you guys, the good news to you. They preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. I want you to know that your salvation is something that angels can only dream about. They can only wonder. They only get to sit on the sidelines but never get in the game. They just get to watch and say, oh, check it out, another person got saved, touchdown. You know, I mean, that's all they get to do. But they never get to experience what it is to be filled by the Holy Spirit that they have known for millennia and watched God do things. They watch God do things and they just watch and they're like, oh, oh, yes. But they'll never get to sit in the seats where you are. They only get to watch. But they'll never experience what is it to be filled with the Spirit? What is it to be transformed by the grace of God? What is it to be empowered by the creator of the universe to walk on high places and have him work through them to do stuff? I mean, they're powerful. They get to do amazing things, but they never get to do what we get to do. They never get to experience what we get to experience. Guys, you have what angels wish they could have. They long to look, but even still, they just don't quite get it. Your salvation's a big deal because it doesn't make sense. In the natural, it doesn't make sense. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of discerning I will thwart. In the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God. It pleased God. Can you think of that? That God was pleased. I mean, think about it. God. He said, watch this. This is going to be so cool. I'm going to do infinitely glorious things, and people are going to think it's ridiculous. They're going to think it's folly. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. And folks, and you'll hear the lost world refer to it. They won't say, oh, that's folly, you know, whilst you're thinking. you know, they won't say that it's folly. They'll say things like, it's irrational. You guys obviously just don't believe in science, right? I mean, it's irrational. It's this, it's that, whatever. But seriously, they think it's folly. The lost, those who are perishing, think it's folly. Those who are being saved, it's like, oh, it's the power of God. And when all of a sudden God takes that dead person who is over there thinking it's folly, and he makes them alive, and their eyes are opened that were being blinded by Satan, then all of a sudden they're like, wow, yeah, that's not so bad after all, is it? It's the wisdom of God. Look, here's the thing. As meaningful as good apologetics are, and we get all whacked out, guys. I mean, sometimes we shut our mouths because we're afraid that we won't have an answer to some really complicated question. Okay, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, and I'm going to tell you, I love apologetics, and apologetics are cool, all right? But as meaningful as apologetics are to help you provide a reasoned argument for the existence of God, apart from the miraculous work of God, nobody will be saved, okay? You're not going to apologetic somebody into the kingdom. What you're going to do is share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is going to work and going to change them and bring them to life. So what do you get to do? You get to do that. You get to just share the gospel. Apologetics, it's a worthwhile endeavor, okay? Guys, dude, I love apologetics, but I also know it's limited and that the Holy Spirit is not. So know that, guys. Your salvation's a big deal because it's more spectacular than creation itself. This is the part I've been waiting for. Come on. Before God spoke, there was no light in the universe. And if you're, you know, nerdy person, you know that light is a wave and it's also a particle. And people are like, how is that possible? I don't know. It responds to gravity. That's cool. You know, Albert figured that one out. And all these things. But before God spoke, there was no light in the universe. Okay, so you just got to establish that fact right now. And then, so God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then if you go to John 1:1, you say, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, all things, including light. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Jesus was life. And in Jesus was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Before God spoke, there was no light in our hearts either. Come on. And if that wasn't bad enough, we were also blinded by Satan so that we couldn't see. So here's the God of this world blinding the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And then, verse 6, but God said, let light shine out of darkness. He has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God just equated creation of light with your soul being awakened to the light of the glory of the gospel. So, people, look, your salvation is no small potato. It's a big deal. Your salvation is a big deal. You have a big deal thing to talk about. It's like, are you kidding me? I had nothing. I was darkened in my understanding until the Spirit of God spoke light of the knowledge of the glory of God into me. I was like, come on now. Somebody give me a hallelujah. Right on. Yeah. So, you know, it didn't say in that scripture, you know, just like the sun shines in our world and gives us warmth, so the gospel is shown in our lives to change our hearts. No. It didn't say just like it does all this. It says just like it didn't exist, then it did exist. That's awesome. So when you start thinking about climbing the high places and revival and go, yeah, God spoke light into a darkened, non-existent universe, basically, because he created the heavens and the earth, and then he said, let's make some light. And he made light. And then it says he made the sun and the stars and all of that. So he made light first, and then he made the things that emanate light. So just like he did that, he could speak light into Lakeway. Guys, you know, we look at Lakeway and we go, well, you know, and we, you know, come on. We all, you know, we look around, we're like, well, they'll be down here, they don't need nothing. They don't need anything, right? They're all just satisfied. No, they act like they're satisfied. But they're darkened in their understanding. Their minds are blinded. And I'm just like, you know, God can do what he wants to do, and God will do what he's going to do. And I just want to be there when he does it, you know? So, guys, if you want to be there when he does it, then you need to start telling people what he's doing and tell people what's going on and get busy saying, did you know? Did you know? Did you know that God can do this, that God can transform your life? Did you know that he can do that? So, what are we going to do with this is the question. What are we to do with this salvation? There's our little guy. I mean, what are we going to do with that? 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know it and we love it. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Okay, just we could stop there for a second, but we won't. A new creation. I mean, we live in a creation, and he said, no, you're a new creation. That's cool. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You see that? Your salvation was from God. And then he turned around and said, guess what? I'm giving you this ministry of going and helping people to find salvation. He said, verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God entrusted to us the message. That doesn't make sense, people, because we are just weak, wimpy people, right? It's like, God, why would you do that? And he's like, because he gets glory out of our weaknesses. He gets glory out of using weak things. He gets glory out of using people that don't feel like they know how to share the gospel at all. You know, it's like, oh, but I'm really scared. You know, yeah, God gets glory in that. If you think that you're like the guy that can like, oh, yeah, dude, I've got the gift of evangelism. I can go out and do that. You know, no. God's not being like, shh, whatever. He's going to take the person who trembles at the thought of sharing the gospel, but knows that the Spirit of God can bring light into a dark place. That's the guy that God's going to use. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He makes me tread on my high places. He's given you feet of the gospel to tread high places. Gosh, Hope Rock, We have a whole high place called Lakeway, Lake Travis. High place needs to be tread with the gospel. And God's looking for folks to do that. Just for fun, ponder this one. The first witness of Christ's resurrection was an ex-demon-possessed woman in a culture where women were not allowed to testify in court and seen as property. Seems like a foolish, seems foolish of God to start evangelism with her. God loves to do take the foolish and confound the wise. So, glory in your foolishness, folks. Glory in your weakness. And know that God can use an ex-demon-possessed woman to announce his resurrection. Can he use you? Was your deliverance from the bondage of sin any less spectacular than Mary Magdalene's? No is the answer. No is the answer. Did the angels rejoice over your salvation any less than Mary Magdalene's? No, they did not. Is the light shining in your heart just as bright as the light created by the voice of Jesus? Yes, it is. So here's the thing. Who do you know that needs to be born again? Do you know somebody? Names popping to your head? You got any names popping in? If you don't have names popping into your head, you need to get some names. Okay? Who do you know that needs to be born again? Today's Memorial Day, we're remembering all the people that gave their lives. You know? They gave their lives defending freedom. And yet, the greatest sacrifice of life was for your salvation. And then he overcame death so that light would shine in you, through you, into a culture. So, guys, rejoice in your salvation. Pray for the lost. Band, we're done. And share with the lost the foolishness of the gospel. And know that if they don't receive it, it's just not time yet. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit starts to work, he will work. But, you know, one of our practices here at Hope Rock is we'll spend some time in a minute after we do a little worship and just rejoice in the fact that we've been saved, right? But I really feel like today I'm just, guys, we need to spend time praying for lost people. In this building today, not just, yeah, go home and pray about lost people. No, you need to gather up with people that are around you and pray for people you know are lost. So at some point, we're going to worship, then we'll go into a time of ministry and prayer. And I'm telling you, folks, we need to be praying for lost people. We need to believe that God has given us the feet to tread the high places. Yeah. To see that stadium full of believers. To see a school transformed by the gospel. To see a city full of rich people who don't believe they need the gospel. Because when Jesus said it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle, and the disciples said, well, then who can be saved? And he said, with man it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Right? So, you've been saved gloriously, more glorious than the creation of light. So you just need to just stand up on your feet and worship about that for a minute, yeah?
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.